Holy Spirit encouraging her to keep pressing, praying, and praising. The pain left during worship. Praise God. Can we give God glory? Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your healing virtue and power. And on that note, Lord, we thank you for healing. Sister Mitchell, Sister, how do you pronounce her name? Lantisha, something like that. Latanya, thank you. Latanya Mitchell, we thank you for healing in her life. We thank you for healing right now in Brother Jim Oliver's life. We thank you for healing right now in Tony and Fran's life. We thank you for healing right now in the life of that young girl who's been diagnosed with lumps that they believe are cancerous. We thank you for healing in her life even now. Just begin to thank the Father for the healings that we have been praying for in this house for others. And if it applies to you, Father, we thank you for the healing that is manifesting, that has gone forth in the wonderful name of Jesus. We believe and therefore we receive. Hallelujah. We have not because we ask not. And when we do ask, we ask amiss that we may consume it upon our own lust. But Father, in these areas, we are not trying to consume anything upon our own lust. This is for our spiritual well-being. We need this house that we are transporting your spirit, your power, your glory, your might in to be healed from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet throughout our entire being, our whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. Jesus said, the flesh profits nothing. He said, the soul is exceedingly sorrowful, but he said, the spirit is indeed willing. And so may we be led by the spirit and by the power of your spirit with our spirit. Our soul and our body comes into divine alignment that we are preserved blameless until your coming, Lord Jesus. And everybody who agreed, said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Amen and amen. If you have your Bibles with you, open them up to the book of Proverbs, chapter 30. We're not going to be very long. Seriously. And you can follow along in your Bible with me. And you can also look at your pulse for reference. Some of the things that I'll be sharing with you. I shared, I believe it was last week and probably the week prior as well, or on a Wednesday night, there's a passage in the book of Proverbs that dealt with just not having more and not having less than what God has for us. And so in there, we should be content. And the way the writer, they say his name is Agur, A-G-U-R, son of Jakeh. The way he phrases it, you know, some would probably look at it and say, you know, well, he says poverty, and we're going to read it. Don't give me poverty, don't give me riches. And so, of course, there are many who don't believe in the prosperity of God's people or that God wants to prosper his people to give them a better life. They would say, see, you know, prosperity is not of God. Everything that is good and godly that comes from above, it's of God. And God will do nothing for you that will take you away from him. But he will allow things to come in your life that will cause you to draw near to him. And he will also not put your life in such a strait, if you will. God won't do it. Life can do it. The devil can do it. But God will not do it. You're not Job, so you don't have to put yourself in Job's place. But if you look at Job, you see that Job spoke out of ignorance, but nevertheless, he spoke out of the integrity of his heart, what he believed to be so. Job wasn't on the side, and he wasn't at the meeting that God had between God and Satan. Job wasn't privy to come to that meeting. He wasn't invited. But the conversation went on, and God said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? God already knew what Satan was doing. And so Satan gave his spiel, and then God says, okay. He He left the hedge. He allowed the enemy to come in. But it wasn't to destroy Job, because in that he says you can do everything, but you can't destroy his life. And so anyways, with that being said, it's like God will never do anything that will cause you to run away from him. And he'll never put your life in such a disarray, make your life so miserable that, you know, you just don't even consider him to be around or consider him to love you or care about you. Jesus said, God so loved you. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Amen? And so God's will is to prosper you. If it were not, John, who laid his head on the chest of the Lord Jesus, never would have said, Beloved, I would above all else that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So in other words, your life should get better in God. Amen. If you stay with him long enough and you be dedicated and devoted, your life is going to get better. Don't sweat the things you don't understand. Don't sweat the things that have not manifest. Rejoice in what has come to pass. Rejoice in what he has already done. Even throughout the scriptures, there's an exhortation, if you will, or an encouragement to remember the works of the Lord, the things that he has done. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. In other words, tell about the good things that God has done. And it's awesome to have your own personal testimony. And if you don't have it, you will have it. Praise God. The fact that you're saved ought to be the greatest testimony that you have, that you've been rescued from the powers of darkness and you have eternal life. Not when you die, you have it now and you're living it now. And you live from that perspective of living for eternity. So you don't want to do anything that's going to disrupt or alter that. You want to do everything that feeds into that. Even that which you do now, understand that those things will go before the Father. Those things will go before Jesus. Those things will go before the throne of God. And they will either be consumed by fire because it's just hay, wood, and stubble, or it'll be refined, perfected, found to be genuine, true, and it'll be as gold, silver, or precious gems, precious stones. But your works will follow you in the sense that what you do for God now follows you when you go to glory. And I don't know about you, but I not only want to reap the benefits and blessings of being a son of God here and now, but also reap of the rewards that will be given when I'm on the other side, if you will. And every believer ought to say, me too. Hallelujah. Praise God. You want stuff to follow you that's going to last and it's going to be able to go through the fire. You don't want stuff that's going to be consumed. Stuff that really is meaningless in the eyesight of God. Because after all, that's where it all ends up, us standing before him. For the world, the ungodly, the unsaved, they go before the judgment seat. Not the judgment seat, they go before the great white throne of judgment, if you will. But for true believers, they go before the judgment seat of Christ, where the wrath of God has already passed over us. Now we'll be judged according to the deeds that we did, and we'll be rewarded accordingly. Amen? Hallelujah. How many of you like getting trophies and things like that? You like winning. Bless God. Whatever the prize may be, you like winning. Well, when we get before Jesus, we want to have something to show that we won. Hallelujah. Not just us being there, but yeah, this is not only did you win, but look, here are the rewards. Here are the trophies, if you will. Praise God. Some of our mansions may be larger than others, but it's up to you. How large do you want it? Where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be. So now, let's go to Proverbs chapter 30. And let's begin at verse 5. This is a good verse to start on. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Jesus said this. What did he say? He said, man shall not live by bread alone. You recall that? I believe it's Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Here, Agur says, every word of God is pure. And in the Amplified, it says, tried and purified. In other words, tested and proven to be true. And so for the believer, it matters that we believe God's word, because his word is already forever settled, forever established in the heavens, and we want to declare and decree it here on the earth. It is pure, it is true, it is tried, it is tested, it works. Hallelujah. It works, it works, it works. You might say, well, it hasn't worked in my situation. Listen, the word of God works. It doesn't list conditions. There was only one condition where Jesus couldn't heal people, and it was because of their lack of belief, their lack of faith. Even the disciples couldn't cast out a devil because of their unbelief. It is never a problem with the authoritative, powerful word of God. It is always on our side, whether it's our ability to believe or our ability to hold fast. You know, we do have patience. We do have endurance. We do have temperance that's given to us by God. What is that for? So we can weather the test of time. Because we believe that what God said is true. He cannot lie. His word is pure. So his word cannot lie. And if it cannot lie, then that means that his word is going to work. All I got to do is believe and hold fast. Now, you believe that you're saved now, many of you, if not all of you. You believe that you're saved now, but you haven't reached heaven. You haven't been before the throne of God. You haven't just, you know, entered into eternal glory, but you believe that you're saved. And we believe that you're saved. We believe that if you die today, you go into the presence with Jesus if you believe according to the word of God. But it hasn't happened, but you still believe. And just as surely as you believe in something that hasn't happened, now we are saved, we are being saved, and we shall be saved. Breaking down the components, we are saved right now. We are guaranteed eternal life for receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, for repenting of our sins, and receiving the righteous gift of God in Jesus Christ. We are saved right now. Praise God. We believe that we are being saved. In the sense that James spoke of it when he says, receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, whereby you're able to save your soul. In other words, the soul salvation. That's getting your soul, man, and your body in alignment with the salvation that comes from God. That's getting you acclimated and accustomed to living in the spirit and walking in the spirit, because you were born of flesh, and that which is born of flesh is flesh. But now you've been born of the Holy Ghost. You've been born of the Spirit of God. You've been baptized with the Holy Ghost with biblical evidence of speaking in other tongues. Many of you, if not all of you. And so now you're born of the Spirit, and Jesus says that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So now you're a spirit being, which means you're led by your spirit. We've heard this before, and you're going to keep on hearing it. You're going to hear it to the point to where you walk in, and each time that you hear it, it ought to become more clear to you, and it ought to be more inspiring to you, and it ought to keep you like, you know, in a bowling alley where, you know, some of us who can't bowl the ball straight down, you know, especially those who know how to, you know, put that spin on it, and it does one of these numbers and then comes back into alignment and hits and makes a strike. Well, some of us, we need what they call bumpers. Amen. We need bumpers, because if we throw that ball, I don't care if we put a spin on it or if we just roll it straight, still that thing ends up being a gutter ball. And so we need those bumpers. Well, I'll serve as a spiritual bumper for you to get you down there and not, you know, hit your hole in one. It's not the hole in one. Which one is it? Strike! Hey, praise God. Well, you get your strike. Amen. Some of you, thank you for that. And so it's like, no, born of the Spirit. So when Paul says, If we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, which is simply saying, if we live by what we have been born of in this new born again life that we live, then we don't have to worry about the flesh, because we won't be fulfilling its desires. We won't be doing. But if we, after we're born again, born to be led by the Holy Ghost, born of the Spirit of God. Our spirit man has now come alive to God. If we have that happen, but we still go after the flesh, we're covering or governing ourselves according to the flesh, which is not what we're supposed to do as believers. You don't be led of your flesh. Flesh will get you in trouble. Jesus says it like this: the flesh profited nothing. Oh, praise God. Look at your flesh and say, you ain't worth a thing. Hallelujah. And I used to say, you ain't worth a dime. Praise God. You ain't worth nothing except to be a house to carry the presence and glory of God and fulfill his will in the earth. If we let our flesh dominate us, believe me, beloved, it's going to continue to dominate us, and life will be the very same as it was prior to getting saved. And some people think that it doesn't work. It does work. You just heard me read the word of God, every word, not just some. Everybody say every. Every is like that big word, A-L-L, all. Every word of God is pure, tried and tested. Hallelujah. You know, they have certain things that they do before they market it or, you know, estimate the value of something, but they test it. They test it. They test gold. They test silver. They test other metals and things like that to see if it's pure, if it's the real thing, if it's the real deal. And that's what the scripture says about the word of God itself. I mean, it's complimenting its own self. This is the word talking about the word. He's under the inspiration of God talking about the word itself. And that word that he's speaking of is just as pure because it's God's word. He's been inspired to write. He's been inspired to speak. So every word of God is pure. And listen to this. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Now, some of you who know your Bible, you can find it for me. And it's over in the Epistle of John, not the Gospel according to John, where he says, and I'm paraphrasing now, we can get so into a place with God where the enemy toucheth us not. Say, the enemy toucheth us not. The enemy touches us not. He can try, but he can't get to us because we're covered. Why? Because God is a shield. Hallelujah. An impenetrable shield, if you will, one that the enemy cannot penetrate. I know it sounds too hard to believe, but it's true. Every word of God is pure. It's tried and tested, found out to be real and genuine, and it works as long as you keep working it and you believe in what you are working. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise be unto God. All right, let's move on. Next verse. Add thou not unto his words. I like this because I'm going to, like Pastor Rob would say, parenthetically insert some things. Add not unto his words. Don't add no, yeah, but. Don't add no, well, I tried it. Don't add no, I don't understand it. Don't add no, I don't believe. Don't add any of your stuff into it. Simply take it for what it says. Add thou not unto his words. Why? Lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. God backs up his word. Hallelujah. In other words, as the Bible says, let God be true and every man be a liar. That's the attitude and mindset for every believer. Let God be true and every man be a liar. Say it with me. Let God be true and every man be a liar. And say this, and that includes me. So we don't put our situations and our circumstances, we don't put our condition, our state, we don't put those things before the word of God. We put God's word before those things, and then we speak into these things to come into divine alignment because every word of God is pure. You understand that? You keep declaring and you keep decreeing until you see it established. Because the moment you allow your thoughts to trump God's word and cling more to what you deal with and what you go through, you can never expect God to come through. James said it like this: a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally, who gives freely. But let him ask in faith. Let him ask believing. Let him ask trusting that he's going to receive. Because if you doubt, don't expect anything from God. That's what James says. Do you not believe it? Let's put your finger in the book of Proverbs, because we're coming right back. Let's go over to James chapter 1. Let's hear what the half-brother of the Lord, who was raised up in the same house, came from the same mother, the womb of the same mother, if you will. They had different fathers. Joseph was simply his stepfather. But Mary was the mother of both of them. She gave birth to both of them, and not only him, but he had other brothers and sisters, if you will. Are you at James chapter 1? Let's look at verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth or withholdeth not, and it shall be given him. Next verse. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Some things wavering. Nothing wavering. Feelings wavering. Nothing wavering. What's present wavering. Nothing wavering. In other words, we don't even go by what we see. It's not trying to play mind over matter. It's not trying to play tricks on the mind. It is believing God's word above what you deal with. In every situation, it doesn't necessarily have to be sickness. It could be something else. It could be a job. It could be, you know, it could be a bill that needs to be paid. It can be anything. It could be everything. Let nothing trump the word of God. By trump, I mean overpower, overrule, overthrow, or cause you to believe in the other thing rather than the word of God. Let nothing supplant or take the place of God's word in your life. Hallelujah. If you're going to benefit and if you're going to be blessed, you're going to have to get to this place. If you're going to receive anything from God, we're going to read it right now. He says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. But let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Isn't that something? Now, mind you, this is a half-brother of the Lord who didn't believe in Jesus until after his resurrection. And once he saw who Jesus really was, he ended up becoming a pillar in the church at Jerusalem, one of the leads in the church at Jerusalem. So he learned a tough lesson. What was a tough lesson? He learned that God was able to raise up his son, his only begotten son, right in his midst without his permission. He learned that his brother was greater than all of them, not that Jesus was comparing and competing, but for the reason that he was manifest. He didn't just die for his own family. He didn't just die for the tribe of Judah. He didn't just die for all of the tribes of Israel. He died for the entire world, that the world through him might be saved. Every nation under heaven that has been manifest on this earth is who Jesus Christ died for. Hallelujah. And believers must make that, you know, their commitment, their level of understanding, especially when it comes to other people who say, well, what about this faith? Or what about that? Or what about these people? You know, these are nice people. These are good people. Jesus died for good people and bad people alike. And everyone must receive him as their Savior and their Lord if they're going to be saved. This is how powerful salvation is. Jesus went to hell to preach to the captives that were there. So he went and preached to everybody that had died prior to his coming to preach the gospel. And there were those that under the old covenant believed in his coming, but they hadn't seen it in their day, that they wouldn't be justified or blessed more than we would be. But Jesus went and preached to all of the captives that were held in Gehenna or hell or the holding place, if you will. He preached the gospel, and still there were those who did not receive, but they had the opportunity, just as surely as we have the opportunity. Jesus said this when he gave the parable. Well, we don't know if it's a parable or not. I believe it's a truth. When he gave the story of the rich man and Lazarus, And Lazarus went to glory, and the rich man went to hell, and the rich man began to intercede for his brothers. I've got brothers out there who haven't believed. Let Lazarus go and speak to them. If he came from the dead, they'll believe. Jesus said, even if one rises from the dead. Now, he ought to know this. How does he know it? Because he preached to them right there in hell. And they didn't have the sense to repent of their sins and get saved. This is just how hardened the hearts of men are towards the things of God. Yet God is fair and just in all of his ways. Nobody will be able to stand before him and say, you are wrong in this area, or you are wrong in that area, or you didn't do this, or you didn't do that. God is just, and he's the justifier. We got to come to grips with the reality of who God is. He's greater than our needs. He's greater than anything and everything that ever was or ever will be. He's God all by himself. He is the Almighty, the Alpha and the Omega. Every knee shall bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You might as well do it now while you're living so that you can have eternity for all eternity. Amen. Hallelujah. Because after you die, it's late. It's over. You don't get a second chance to come back. He's already preached to the captives in hell. The Bible teaches us that. He wasn't just laying in that grave. Jesus was busy preaching to those who were in hell. He led a train of them out of hell on the day of resurrection. He led a train of them, and they went through Jerusalem parading. Jesus showed that he is the resurrection and the life. Oh, we serve an awesome God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah. When you think about the awesomeness of God and what he has done in the depths and lengths and heights and all, and what the extent that he went to save us all. We're talking about all humanity. It's no black thing. It's no white thing. It's no Jew thing. It's no Gentile thing. It is God's love for the entire world that the world through him could be saved. He's the second Adam, the Lord from heaven. He didn't fail in his mission. Hallelujah. Blessed be his name. So look at this verse, that James, the half-brother of the Lord. James had to learn the hard way. Now, whether he was with his brothers who told Jesus as he was getting ready to prepare himself for death, but this was the Feast of Tabernacles, probably the last Feast of Tabernacles that Jesus celebrated here on earth. And they were like, why don't you go on down there? You know you want to be seen. Jesus is like, no, this is your hour, darkness. And then, of course, after they left, then he went about the Father's business and ended up in that place. James had to learn the hard way. I don't know if he was there with his brothers when they did that or not, but he had to learn. He had to learn the school of hard knocks, the hard way of who Jesus was. And he didn't learn until he rose from the dead. But then again, he became a pillar. Praise God. Hallelujah. Even if it was difficult in bringing you in or bringing others in, be a pillar in the church. Praise God. James had to go from not believing in his brother to believing in his brother. Not believing that his brother is Lord to calling him Lord. Hallelujah. Look at this. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ha! Praise God. I know you don't get it. You don't even feel it. But it's there. Praise God. To go from looking at him as the older brother to now, Lord, praise God. And he's like, man, if you don't believe, don't expect nothing from God. He ought to know. So that's our mindset, our attitude. Now let's flip back. And we're going to read these few passages of scriptures, and then we're stopping. Proverbs chapter 30. When you get there, say amen. All right, you kept your finger there. That's good. Every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his word, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Two things have I required of thee. One day we're going to get into the one thing that I have desired. But the two things I have desired of thee, deny them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. And so it's like having a balance or a proper perspective in life. And, you know, you could take it the way the Holy Spirit would reveal it to you, but it's as if he's like, my life, my ambition, my aim, my goal is to glorify you. So, first of all, keep me away from lying. Keep me away from deception. Keep me away from not telling the truth. I don't want to lie. In my walk and my relationship with you, I want to be truthful, if you will. It's a desire. It's a desire. It's an aim. It's a goal. This is what and he's relying on God to help him do this. You see, in everything that we do in life from this moment on, from this moment upward and forward, we ought to be relying on God, not ourselves. We ought to be doing it in his strength, his power, and his might, and not in our own might. Why? Because we're no longer of the flesh. When we were of the flesh, we did things of the flesh. We relied upon the flesh, but now we rely upon God. We rely upon his spirit. And everything happens in his appointed time in our lives. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord forever and ever and ever. Everything depends on him. And so he says, remove far from me vanity. Vanity. I think I put a definition in there for the word vanity. And I'll see if I can find it, zero in on it real quick. Hallelujah, Jesus. And if I can't find it, I'll keep on moving for sake of time. But Solomon, he described vanity like grasping at the wind. You know, it's just emptiness. It's just nothing really there. It really doesn't matter. But there's a definition. I didn't put it in here. I thought I did. Yes, Minister Posada. You read it? Okay, it's not in there. Then it's in my notes on the iPad itself. But it's a very good definition. And I'll get it to you Wednesday night if you come out for Word Alive. Praise God. But anyways, he describes it as vanity and lies. Keep me away from that. Remove me far from that. His dependency is on God in order to do that. Amen? And then he says, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. And so it's like he's, to me, you take it how you want to take it. It's like, I want to live the life that you've ordained for me. Don't give me riches that will take me away from you. And I deny you, like, who is God? I made my own way. I'm doing my own thing. And then again, don't give me poverty so that I go out and steal and bring shame and reproach to your name. Don't let me take your name in vain. And so I know I put that in here, because if I didn't, I really cut you guys short. You're really on the edge of praise God. Hold on. Jesus. No, this is the wrong one. No wonder. I don't see anything in that. How did that get there? That's July 15, 2018. My goodness. Oh, praise be unto God. Okay. Remember the commandments, the Ten Commandments that the Lord gave, that you shall not take the Lord, the name of the Lord your God, in vain. And I gave you the Amplified, how the Amplified expounds on it. And it says, one down at the third paragraph, middle part, one of the Ten Commandments of the law of Moses is this: you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And this is dealing with the poverty to where I bring like shame and reproach on you, which according to the Amplified translation of the Bible means that it is irreverently, or that is irreverently in false affirmation or in ways that impugn, call into question the character of God. disregarding its reverence and power, and that is the reverence and power of God's name. You know what Jesus left us as his disciples? He left us his name, because there's power and authority in his name. And it's the name that we must work, we must believe in, and we must have confidence in, that when we use and exercise that name, whatever we're doing in alignment with his will in the earth, it is done. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. You want nothing more and nothing less than what God has ordained for you. You want nothing that's going to pull you out of his will. And you don't want to do anything that's going to bring shame and reproach to his name. And that's how we govern ourselves as the people of God. And that's how we'll see the greatness of God manifest here in the earth. Amen? Father, we love you and thank you for this great and glorious day. Thank you for all that you've done, everything you're doing, and all that you're about to do. I pray for each and every one that's under the sound of my voice. I pray for those who have tuned in by Facebook Live, as well as those who have tuned in live stream. We pray that this word be sent forth right where you are to minister healing and to deliver you from destruction, to reassure, strengthen, edify your faith. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We live by faith. And if we do this, we'll see the glory of God. Hallelujah. Not just words that sound good, but words that are true, because it's based on truth. So thank you for tuning in. Receive the blessing of the Lord now. Father God, God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus, I pray the blessing that you will bless your sons and daughters here in the tabernacle, those watching live stream. Bless them and keep them. Make your face shine upon them. Be gracious unto them. Lift up your countenance on them and give them your peace. Your name be over them and their household, that you may bless them, that they may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and above all else, they may prosper and be in health, even as their soul prospers. Father, I thank you that you are the God who not only starts a thing, but you finish and complete a thing. For your word declares, Almighty God, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it, the coming of the Lord. You're not a man that you should lie. You're not the son of man that you need to repent. What you said, you'll do, and what you've spoken, you will surely make it good. We have the promises of God in Christ Jesus, which are in him, yes, and in him, amen, and we hold dearly to it. So right now, Father, let the word of healing go forth to your sons and daughters that are in this place and those that are watching live stream. Let the power of your word turn situations around for glory and honor. Let the anointing destroy every yoke and lift every burden, that every heart may be free, every mind will be made whole, that there's no instability, that there's no crippleness in the body of Christ. But this body is healthy, solid, and whole to carry out your good and acceptable and perfect will. That none of our enemies are able to overcome us, because the greater one is in us. That no adversary, no opponent that will stand against us in the fray will be standing when it's all said and done. But we will trample over serpents and scorpions and over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing by any means shall hurt us. And we thank you and give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody who agrees said amen. Amen. All right. Be blessed. We love you. We will see you soon. We'll be back here at the altar at 6 p.m. Those of you who have been inquiring about